Well, welcome in to live almost from a Studio D, and happy to be joined by a new voice, not so much in the Chicagoland, but on the Chicago Bear Radio Network. As you know, WLQI has carried the Chicago Bears since probably 1952 or something like that. But I'm glad to be joined by one of the co-hosts of the pregame show, Mark Silverman from AM 1000 in Chicago. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
It's going great. It's a pleasure to join you.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time out to join. And it's got to be a thrill for you to be doing the Bears, pretty much associate with the Bears, period.
You know it. I've been, I'm a Chicagoan. I grew up in this city, and it's all about Bears football. I first started when I broke into this business after, college. I went to Southern Illinois University, and when I first started, I was a reporter for WGN Radio covering the Bears. And when I came over to ESPN 1000, when we opened the doors, I that was my beat. I covered the Chicago Bears. So 25 years later, to be able to get the Bears on our radio station and to be hosting the official pregame show and to be able to do the halftime show, it's a big deal for us, and it's kind of a full circle thing for me in my career.
Oh, that's fantastic, because like I said, that has to be a thrill to grow up watching the Bears on TV and going to a game every so often. And then now you're behind the scenes and bringing fans like you, when you were younger and not on the inside, to be able to bring them information and what's happening with the Bears. So, again, that's a fantastic thing. We got the Bears and the Raiders coming up on Sunday. And it looks like we got the battle of the backups at the quarterback position.
Yeah. It reminds me of some of the games that we were doing for preseason when we were getting ready for Tyson Bagent. But, he established himself in the preseason. It's a great story. It's one of those stories that if he ends up playing well, that they make a movie about. He's got a famous dad who is an arm wrestler. I don't know how well you know the story, but he's one of the all-time great arm wrestlers. He was a righty and a lefty arm wrestler. He groomed him to be a quarterback. He didn't get the scholarship offers that he wanted to get. He wanted to go to West Virginia, his state school growing up in West Virginia. And because of the scholarship offers he was getting, the teams that were offering had losing records. He didn't want to go to a program that had bad records. So he ended up going to Shepherd, a Division II school, which his dad went to. So that was the school that he grew up watching, and he went to those games and he felt comfortable going to. So he ended up being the star there. He won the Heisman Trophy of Division II, basically, and really rewrote the record books. I think he threw for something like 17,000 yards in college. And then the Bears, coached him at the Senior Bowl. And a lot of people thought he would be drafted in the sixth or seventh round, kind of be a Brock Purdy type player where at the end of the sixth or seventh round, he would still be drafted, but he never was drafted, and the Bears made him a priority free agent, and they felt comfortable enough to cut P.J. Walker at the end of training camp, and here he is this early in the season starting a game because Justin's hurt.
Well, the one thing about Bajan that really jumped out at me is when you think about this, is that he decided, again, he's concentrated on his craft as a football player because he knew what was him. And I think the biggest thing there was the fact that I saw an interview with his college coach earlier in the week. And one of the things that he said was that his mom used to come after practice. I think it was his mom used to come after practice and challenge him to handstand contests. And he can literally walk from sideline to sideline on his hands. And that is the pure core strength for that is just amazing. And, he did stand out in the preseason because, it was like a shot of electricity. And again, people can argue, it was preseason. But still, those are guys that are professional, at some level right now, or, you know, yeah, they may not be in the league right now, but they probably would get a call if somebody were to get hurt. So, like I said, I think it's a great story. I think it rivals Kurt Warner. Probably the only thing with Warner was as much as he bounced around and had the ups and downs where, you know, Bajent was just the kind of rags to riches story, so to speak.
Yeah, I was in college at Southern when Kurt Warner was at Northern Iowa. And then I was the greatest show on turf year when he established himself was the year that I was covering the Bears, and the Bears played the Rams that year. And, like, to go from, you know, playing for the Iowa Barnstormers in the Arena League, bagging groceries, everyone remembers that. It was just a crazy thing. The thing that I love about Bajent, and again, like, who knows if he's going to go from this point A all the way down the road to having a great career. But I think he's capable, because the thing that I love about him, where he could be at least a decent NFL quarterback, is he processes. Mm-hmm. And the thing that we debate on our show on Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000 is the problem with Justin at times is, while Justin's got all the tangibles with the arm strength and the athleticism, and he's a great leader and he works hard, but when he gets on the field, there are times where he just doesn't throw it when he needs to throw it. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't process the defense. And so far, and we'll see, like, you know, it's a different ball game, like you said, when you're playing in a regular season game. But I thought you saw glimpses of it, especially as he got used to the speed of the game after like the third series or so. When he came in, he gets the ball out quick. He knows where to go to the ball with the ball. I think he'll distribute it a little bit more to all the different players. And I think that was something that the Bears offense has been lacking. So, you know, we'll see where this goes, but it's going to be intriguing to see.
You know, you brought up a great point about Justin Fields with all the intangibles. It seems like, and again, this has sort of been, it's been difficult because you see the glimpses, you see that, hey, this could be a good thing here, but it's not kind of put together. You know, it's kind of like an ice cube that's been in the freezer. You know, it's still froze, but it's not completely solid. And that's kind of how Justin's game is. He's not completely solid at times. Like I said, sometimes he overthinks. He doesn't get rid of the ball fast enough. And like I said, Bajent does seem to have caught up to the speed of everything. And, you know, this is probably a good test because, you know, those preseason games, Tyson didn't have Max Crosby across the line from him coming to basically, you know, bend him in half. So, you know, yes, we'll see how fast he can relate. And, you know, that's the other thing, too, is when you realize out of the three big weapons that we kind of looked at the beginning of the season that Justin had as his disposal, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and Darryl Mooney, you know, there's sometimes where those guys, you wonder, hey, where are they at? Are they hurt? Or what's going on? And then when you start looking for him specifically, you see him just running routes and the ball doesn't go there. So it kind of makes you wonder, does Justin, you know, have somebody else, the play was called for, and he doesn't look for somebody? And that's the other thing. Yeah. You know, the play recognition also seems to be something that Justin seems to be lacking. So, you know, it's frustrating as a Bears fan. You know, I'm like you. I'm a lifelong Chicago Bear fan, lifelong Chicago fan. And it's just so frustrating. And I think this year might be a little bit extra frustrating because we had all those expectations back before training camp started. You know, we kind of thought, okay, this is the year. This is the year we're back. It's 1985 part two, and we're gonna take this division, and we're gonna see what happens, and we just got to get into the playoffs, and then good things will happen. And then the wheels came off very quickly, and then we're left with, you know, kind of like Rob Schneider's character in Waterboy. Oh no, we suck again. You know, that was sort of the mentality everybody had. And everything.
We use that gif a lot on Twitter. Yes, I know. The oh no, we suck again gif.
Yeah.
For sure. And like, even if it wasn't going to be one of those playoff years, it was going to be a bridge year to one of those playoff years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one thing that I thought it was going to be was one of, like, a year the Lions had last year. that by the end of the season, even if it would look ugly at times, by the end of the year, you knew you had a football team. And then you had a bridge built to a really good team for next year. And a lot of answers to the questions that you had going into the 2023 season. And instead of coming away with more answers, you've come away with more questions to the questions that you've already had asking yourself going into the year. And you don't want to ask more questions. So now you have way more of a problem than you ever thought you would have this early, mid-October. And then who knows what you're going to have it by the end of the year.
You're exactly right, because, you know, like you said, we thought, you know, there would be some rough patches. You know, we never thought it would be a smooth sailing, you know, season. But, you know, we were hoping for more good than bad. But like you said, when, you know, when you're October and you're already talking about, hey, who do you think would be the number one draft pick? Hey, can the Bears end up with the top two picks? And you start, right, you start having those conversations that you have in January, and you're having them in, you know, late September, early October. You know, that's the part where you kind of, you know, realize, hey, things aren't going the well they can. And yeah, it is early. And if things do kind of, you know, we find ourselves, so to speak, you know, we can make, you know, maybe at least have some, have that feeling like the Lions did towards the end of the year. Hey, you know what? It started off rough, but it ended up decent. Hey, next year, a few more pieces, we can go somewhere. But, you know, time's dwindling on that. And, you know, we don't want to get too deep into the season and realize, you know, hey, we're just as, you know, are we worse? You know, especially when you start asking this question, are we worse or better than we were this time last year? That's the question.
And they're probably worse. And this is one that you got to get, the Raiders game, because afterwards, and I know the Chargers are one of these teams that are up and down, but you've got some road games coming up here in the next several weeks. So the train can really get off the track here. And you know, it's something that we've talked about on our show. Draft time should be talked about in January, February, and March.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time of year that we should be talking about building a football team, being in the hunt in the postseason, players that are thriving, and everything like that. Draft talk and positioning for all of that should not be discussed in the end of October or in mid-October. And it's just a shame that that's where we're going right now, because that's what the writing on the wall is pointing towards. It's not our fault. It's what the Bears have put us in the mode of.
Exactly. And the same thing with free agency. You can throw that in there, too. You know, this is not the time to start going, hey, so-and-so's contract's up after this year. Hey, you know, hopefully, right, you know, we can get him before, you know, they don't re-sign him or something, or, you know, along those lines. You know, going back to this Sunday's game with the battle of backups, have we heard yet who the Raiders are going to start, either Brian Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell?
Not yet, no. I'm hoping it's Aiden O'Connell, because he, you know, obviously played at Purdue, which I'm sure you know, mm-hmm, well. And then he's from my neck of the woods. He played at Stevenson, which is a suburban school here in the Chicago area. So, you know, it would be really cool to see another Illinois kid playing in his hometown in that game. So it would be two really cool stories between Bagent against O'Connell. So it's something that I would like to see instead of the 38-year-old Brian Hoyer against Bagent, the old guy against the kid.
Exactly right. So let's do this. Let's say, you know, it's Sunday and it's coming up on noon. What? Let's just, we'll make it super simple. Two things. What two things do the Bears need to concentrate on Sunday to, by 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, walk away with a W?
They have to figure out what their line is going to look like and make sure they can get through a game. So, like, on Sunday, are they going to be healthy? Darnell Wright is not healthy right now at right tackle. We already know they're subbing for Braxton Jones at left tackle with Larry Borum. So if Darnell Wright can't go, who is their right tackle? We already know last week they couldn't snap a football. So who's, like, if Lucas Patrick is playing center, you know, who are your guards? They're talking about maybe moving Jenkins over from one guard to the other, which I'm not a fan of. So, like, it's just like a bunch of moving parts at the line. And with all the different inconsistencies, and we know that that is a group that chemistry plays a big part of, are you going to be able to patchwork it with a rookie undrafted player to protect him? So are they going to be able to protect? Are they going to be able to execute a play? Last week they couldn't snap a football. So that's my first one. Like, can the offensive line function to let the kid run the offense? And the second part is you got to let your star be a star. Every game I say it, and I shouldn't have to say it, get the ball to DJ Moore.
Exactly.
Last week was atrocious. You know, one target through a half. I think he had two targets through three quarters. Bajan ended up getting him the ball more in the fourth quarter, and I think he'll get him the ball. He had over 200 yards in the Washington game. And I always lean towards offense more than defense. You got to score to win, so... You know, I'll go offensive line and get the ball to your star.
Well, you know, that's pretty much it, because that's the one thing, too, that really was one of those mysteries to me as the season started off is, you know, we had all of the, you know, the T-shirts of, you know, 1 + 2 = 6 and everything.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, that's right. We have DJ Moore on this team. Where's he at? And then, you know, Mooney got hurt, you know, that mystery knee injury in Tampa. And everything, and you know, at least Komet is playing. But you know, those were like three weapons that we really were looking forward to having, and they've sort of been, you know, MIA on and off throughout the season, and that has been one of the biggest problems that, you know, the Bears have faced. And then, like you said, when you turn around and realize, you know, it's Justin. You know, can he catch up to the speed of the game, and you know, can actually get the ball out quicker when he's got pressure on him. No pressure, he's able to function as an NFL quarterback. But then again, you turn around and realize that, you know, when they pressure him, it's all, you know, all bets are off. So that's why I think that's one of the first things that I've heard all week from a lot of national people. So they said that Bajan was able to get the ball out quicker than Fields was. So if that continues... And actually, the one thing I did want to ask you, the running game. How are we looking in the running game? I know that we've had a lot of injuries with running backs.
As of today, Roschon Johnson is still in concussion protocol, which is a shame because I think he would definitely be running back one. So I wish I would have liked to see a little more Deontay Foreman. I think he's good. I thought they went with Evans a little bit too much last week. He was a guy that they got off of the Dolphins practice squad, a guy that they had last year for a little bit of time. But I would have rather gone with Foreman. Neither running back is good with helping with the blitz, and the line can use some help. But I would like to use Foreman a little bit more than they used him last week. They didn't run the ball bad last week. They actually ran the ball well, and they may use a steady diet of it this week.
Well, we can only hope that things continue to improve, and we'll see. Like I said, it's kind of exciting to going into this game on Sunday with, you know, with Bajan to see, you know, how well he does in a full game, and everything. And again, too, you know, there's some little subplots, you know, with the quarterback for the Raiders. You know, will it be O'Connell or Hoyer and everything, and then going up against the defensive line for the Raiders. That's pretty aggressive. So subtext to the game on Sunday, but the real thing is we just want a W on Sunday against the Vegas Raiders, because like you said, this falls in the category of it's a winnable game, and you've got to win the winnable game. I mean, you need to win all your games, but you know, when you're kind of scrapping like the Bears are, you definitely want to take care of business when it comes to games you can win. At least, you know, on paper, it looks like you should be able to win.
Got to get this win for sure, because like I said, the schedule gets tough, and, you know, it's been a long time since the Bears have won a home game. I believe the date is September 25th, 2022.
Ooh.
Against the Houston Texans. So it's been a long time. I know a couple of games ago against Washington, they ended the 14-game losing streak, but there are still other losing streaks that they have not ended, including the home losing streak. And that's one that you got to protect your home field. If you're ever going to be a consistent winner, you got to win at home. And they haven't been able to win at home in now, what, 13 months. They've got to be able to win at home.
That's right. Home field advantage is super important, especially in the NFL and anywhere. And like you said, if you don't take care of home turf, you're pretty much SOL, so to speak.
Yes.
Well, we've been joined by Mark Silverman. He is one of the co-hosts of the Chicago Bears Radio Network pre. And I didn't realize you were doing halftime. I usually am watching the game at home, and I listened during the preseason, but I haven't listened during the regular season to you, and that's on me. But we wish you nothing but good luck throughout the season. We wish the Bears nothing but luck as well, and just so happy for you personally to be able to do these games after, like you said, getting your start as a reporter and following them, and now you're able to be a game day host for the Bears coverage, which is utterly fantastic. Mark Silverman, the co-host of the Bears Radio Network, join us in Studio D. Mark, we appreciate your time, and thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you, and thank you for being a partner in Bears football.